children obviously enjoying themselves this morning, aren't they? They're getting ready. Okay, what did we do last week? There's a death of silence. 7 days have gone. We did prayer. Prayer. Come on, we're starting a series off because I tell you something. We can look around and see how cheerful the church is this morning with all the children in the school and how many people are away. But listen, nothing is more productive than prayer. It's bigger than the fanciest meetings. You know, there was a woman and she, every time she needed something, she used to pray to God and then go knock on her next door neighbor and tell him, God's answered my prayer. And one day he was sick and tired of this woman. So he thought, well, I'm gonna get a plan up. And a couple of days later, she knocked on the door and she said, I've prayed for God that he's gonna provide me groceries. He says, whoa, I'll get her. So he whips down to Tesco's and he buys a hamper. And he puts it on her doorstep. And she opens her door and she shouts, hallelujah, God's answered my prayer. And he runs out the house. He says, got you. He said, God didn't provide them. He says, I did. He says, I got them at Tesco's. And she says, Father, thank you. Not only have you provided me with food, but you've got the devil to pay for them as well. I want to tell you that how God is able. Is able. Now we talked about this last week, and we talked about how God answers prayer. And when you're praying, you're having a conversation with God. When you're praying, you are using a powerful weapon. When you're praying, you're getting a strategy from God. And we're not going to repeat last week's sermon. But basically, those are the three things we homed in on. And before, this is the second part of our introduction. And then we'll go into the Lord's Prayer, not next week. Next week we have a visitor speaking, but he's part of our family, but he's going to be coming and ministering to us next week. But when we pray, we get a strategy from God. You know, it is important to know God's strategy. Rick Warren says this, only do today what God is blessing. Think about it. Only do today what God is blessing. Because if you're doing something that's totally different, he's not blessing it, he's not in it. Only do today what God is blessing. And it's a great strategy to have. We need to find out what God is doing. You know, when the Empire State Building was being built, it was commissioned to a man called William Lamb. Now he was the architect and he was given certain criteria. And there were many things he had to do to consideration. For instance, he had to think of how tall they wanted the building. And having known the taller building, he then had to know what the weather conditions are like. How strong would the foundations be? And so William Lamb began to get a strategy together and to study all the factors, the wind factor, the winter seasons, the structure, how many rooms is one to be in it. He produced what's called a blueprint. And William Lamb submitted the blueprint before they even started building this Empire State Building. And I want to tell you that God has a blueprint for each and every one of our lives. For you, starting out in life, just young, and for David, who's now retired and way past it. He's still got a blueprint for his life. And David's been away for 3 days, seeking God at Malvern Bible College. You see, God has something for each and every one of us today. And we've got to believe it. The problem with us is we do believe God, we doubt God, and the Bible says in James, once we start doubting God, we're never going to get our prayers answered because a man who doubts God cannot receive. We have to be a believing people. And I always get his name wrong. What's it, Wiggles? S before W, Wigglesmith, is that right? No, Smith Wigglesworth. And his criteria in life was taken from the scriptures in Mark. Only, and it was his motto for the whole of his life. Even when he couldn't see his daughter healed. He truly believed in God. And we know he saw many, many great miracles. When we pray, we get a strategy from God. Now, how do you pray? Well, I do this. Many people find encouragement and assistance from study books, commentaries, and keeping a prayer diary. I have mine here. All of here is all my prayers. I write to Jesus every day. I sit down and I write Jesus a letter. It's my prayer. It's how I communicate with God. I don't often are on my hands and knees. I'm generally sitting down and I'm writing to God a letter. I find it much easier to talk to Jesus as if I was writing him a letter. Anne Graham, Billy Graham's daughter, she sits with a chair like that and she pretends, I'll make sure, you're God, what a promotion, right? And she sits on a chair in the middle of her room and she sits like this and she pretends she can see God on that table. And that's how she prays. And she can create a great picture in her mind of God just sitting just where you are there. Listen, we don't have to be on our knees. It's just one of the ways to pray. You can, Billy Fannin, my senior pastor in Redden, he goes for a walk. And as soon as he's walking down a canal or walking in the field, he finds he just communicates with God better. In other words, he's found his strategy. He's found his blueprint on how to communicate with God. Some people find it very difficult to get on their knees and hands. Some people find it very difficult to pray early in the morning. My wife comes alive about 11 o'clock at night. And so probably the best time for her is praying. My father-in-law said to me on his wedding speech that she came to alive at night. And he was true. She does. For some reason, she'll think nothing of going into the bath at 11 o'clock at night. I'm dead. 10:30, Peter, I'm dead. It's because of my age, I think. I'm just basically dead. So, what would be the point of me at 10:30 at night praying? Because as soon as I close my eyes, because I've got a pure conscience, I can sleep. And I can, someone said it's because I have no conscience. I can sleep. But it's not. It's because I have a pure conscience. But let me tell you something. All I'm trying to do, because I've got to have this introduction. They're on the CDs. They're on the internet. You need to understand something about prayer before we go into the Lord's Prayer. Because if you don't know how to pray and what makes it comfortable, you're never going to crack the hurdle. You've got to find your blueprint. How many of you are morning people? Seriously, how many of you are real morning people? You know? Yeah, I know you are, my love. You text me sometimes 6 o'clock in the morning. David's another one who can text me at 4 o'clock. David can just text you. Yeah. But I know Heather and Stuart, you know, they'll say, when is breakfast time? And I'm sure when Avril says 8:30, they're thinking, breakfast? That's dinner time for us. But they're just early birds, aren't they? You know, but some people, who's a night bird? Who's a disco person? Oh yeah, disco person. That's what I call night people. Come alive at night time. Find the best time of the day to pray. What would be the point of you trying to pray getting 3 children, Sarah, out to school? Nightmare. Wouldn't it? It would be silly. Be no good saying to those 3 children, stop it, I've got to have my quiet time. Because those 3 boys will just say, yeah, okay. What mischief can we do next? I'm being serious with you. You must find your blueprint. When is the best time for you to be alone with God? And let me tell you this, to say I have no time to be alone with God is not the answer. There is some time in the day when you must decide to take time out to be with God. We're not in a religious ritual where God demands that we pray X amount of times. What God says is, listen, there should be a time when you devote yourself to communicate with me. Talking to little Philip this morning, and he said, Eddie, I don't like praying. I said, why, Philip? I said, do you know what prayer is? And we sat at the back while you were singing, and Philip and I had a little conversation. And I just told him that prayer was talking. I said, do you like talking? Philip said, yeah, love it. So Philip likes talking. And so I said to Philip, do you like talking to Mom? I'm not going to say what he said. So anyway, but I said, listen, that's what you're doing when you talk, when you're talking to Jesus in prayer. All you're doing is talking. I said, do you know what prayer is? He said, yeah, talking to Jesus. I said, well, do you like to do that? He said, yeah. But you see, he associated the word with prayer, which a lot of us do, not realizing prayer is simply a communication tool to communicate with our Father. To communicate with our Father. We call this praying in the Spirit. When we pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. I always do that. Father, I thank you. I thank you this morning that I'm coming to you through your Son, because that's the only way I can come to you. That's the only way I can come to God, friends. Jesus said, I am the way. No man but by. So every morning my prayer time in my little diary here, Father, I come to you through your Son. By the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit in our hearts, you see. The Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in your heart. And the Holy Spirit gives you things to say when you can't say it. So that is a correct formula to start with. Now, if you don't use that, God isn't saying you've got it wrong. I'm just simply saying that is the communication of the Trinity in prayer. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I write down my prayer. Then what I do is, I then have a time of silence. I will sit quietly, won't say a word. And I started with 10 minutes, because 10 minutes was ample at that time. And then when I got used to sitting quietly with Jesus, just sitting quietly, I then made it 20 minutes. Now make it half an hour. And I'm building my time up so I can allow Jesus to speak to me. Because communication is two-way. And if we're just talking all the time, God has very problems of getting through. I would encourage you to start with 10 minutes. Don't start with anything longer than 10 minutes, because 10 minutes sitting quietly before God can take some time. And I mean quietly. So again, it has to be the time where in the day you are free, you're not going to be tired, you're not going to fall asleep. You are simply going to sit with God. On your own, for 10 minutes, not saying a word. Now listen, if nothing happens, that's okay. That doesn't mean anything happened. You were giving God a chance to communicate with you. Too many of us are looking for something when God just naturally wants to do things. I sit in the porter cabin on a Sunday morning now. I come early and sit in that porter cabin. And I just sit there, and just sit there, and just sit there. I'm just waiting for God. God knows. And God just gave me a song this morning, to be in your presence. That wasn't anything super. It was just God just said to me, to be in your presence. Not rushing away. Well, that's going to keep you for the day. And I'm just trying to encourage you. I want you to know, first of all, get yourself in a position to pray before you even think about praying. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul makes it clear that the primary importance of prayer is intercession. The first time the word intercession is used is in Isaiah 53, verse 12. Now, what is intercession? It's a go-between. It's to stand in the gap. It's the position we take before God for a specific cause. We carry the needs of others before his throne and stay with a weight upon the length of time it takes to pray through and the burden it lifts. I'm quickly going through this because I really want to get on this morning. The notes are available and so are the slides. That's what intercession is. I'm going to talk about that. In Isaiah 53 verse 12, the root meaning of intercession is paga. It means to strike up against, to be violent against, to collide with. This is a form of spiritual warfare where the intercessor stands between the person and the situation. Now, you were God, now you're playing the devil. So you played both roles today, Sarah. Sarah is the devil. Okay, Eunice. I was going to put you the devil, but I thought, no, more than my life's worth. So Eunice is the community in which we live in. Okay?
So what stops the devil breaking into, what stops the devil hitting our community? Nothing. There's nothing stopping the devil. Sarah can really slap her around. Don't. But Sarah could really slap her around now. And there's no one to stop her, is there? There's no one. So, in comes a holy man. Someone else, Curtis. Now, Sarah, don't you do this. You try and slap her now. Then I'm in the... I am Paga. Not Pastor now, I'm Paga. I am an intercessor. I am standing in the gap for Eunice, for the community. And that's why Tuesday night prayer meetings is important. The devil no longer has access into the community because I am standing in the... I am Paga. I'm standing. And what's actually happening is my prayers are going into heaven and there is a spiritual warfare being released. God is sending his angels to do the work that I am praying. The devil is sending his angels to stop the work that's being done. That's why it means a collision. That is what a spiritual warfare is. If you want to know about it, read in the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks before his prayer was answered. And when the angel finally came to Daniel, it said, listen, the reason I couldn't come to you straight away was because the devil was fighting the armies that God has sent. Listen, you are fools and ignorant. And let me say this really. If you seriously think that there is no spiritual warfare going on, why is it your family aren't being saved immediately you pray? Because this enemy here is not going to allow the word of God to break into her spirit. No, it's not. I'm giving you scripture. 1 Corinthians says this, and the devil has blinded the eyes of those, yes, they believe and be saved. Now, this is scriptural. The devil has blinded the eyes, lest Eunice should see and believe. So, she's not going to allow her. So I'm going to come along and say, I'm going to stand in the gap for Eunice. I'm standing in the gap for my two sisters, Mary and Margaret. They don't know Jesus. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm Paga. I am interceding. And every time I mention my sisters' names, God releases something in the heavens to start the spiritual warfare which is going on in heaven. And God said, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world today. But you've got to believe that God is able to do abundantly more exceedingly than we think or ask. So every time you pray each day, you are doing Paga. If you're praying for your pastor, as you should be, remember, don't pray for a new pastor. Pray for the one you've got that he will change if you don't like him. You understand? Are you intercessors? I want to be serious with you this morning. We're not starting our prayer time yet until I really believe we've set some groundwork here. Do you know in the book of Ezekiel, God said, I look for a man to stand in the... He looked, Junior, for a man to stand in the gap. And God said, I didn't find anyone. Therefore, that town will perish. What sad words. Because Jesus couldn't find any human being to stand in the gap and pray Paga. Well, I'm not going to allow my community to go to hell. Are you going to allow your next door neighbor to go to hell? I'm being serious this morning. How many of us are Pagas? How many are interceding? Interceding with God. Because I'll tell you, remember, prayer is a powerful. God answers. God gives us a strategy when we pray. And what's God's strategy? Well, it's the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, devil. Done well. Thank you, Eunice. And we will be going into the Lord's Prayer as a strategy. Let me tell you the rewards of intercession. The rewards of you being a Pargar is this. It's the sowing and reaping principle. And I tell you, if you're not praying, why do you expect God to answer prayer? I'm serious. If you sow, you reap. If you don't sow, you don't reap. If Dennis hadn't gone out working for the great company British Gas, he wouldn't have been paid. He sold that he might reap. He didn't go because he loved the British Gas Company. Oh, I don't think he did. He sold because he had to go out to work. You sold that you might reap. And I want to tell you this, it's the same spiritual principle. God is saying it in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. When you're praying, you are making demand on God's ability. Ask of me and I will give you the... And we need to say that. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Do we believe it? I'm going to shout some amens here this morning. Not because you've got to shout amen, because we're Pentecostal, but because we truly do believe in the God in which we serve. That my God is a great big God. We sing it in Sunday school, but it's great. He is a big, big God this morning. It allows you to pray on what is on your Father's heart. Remember, only do what God is. And we say, how do I know that? Well, what's the will of God? The will of God, the Bible tells me, is that nobody should perish in the whole world. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter, read it. 1 Peter says that none should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God's desires. God's also desire is that he will be able to bless you. And your family and your children. There are so many promises that God has given us in Scripture. We know the will of God. The will of God for your life, Les, is be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what Dulcie has to do every morning. She has to offer her body as a living sacrifice to God. That is well pleasing and acceptable to God. That's the will of God. And if you were to say, Father, I come in Jesus' name by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me today to fulfill Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. That's a powerful weapon being released. God's strategy in heaven will come down and the armies of God will help you and shape your life to be the man and woman God wants you to be. Because you've released something. Can we say how important prayer is? It's so, so important. And that's why Tuesday nights, I do get concerned at numbers. Because the more people that pray, the greater the weapon has been released. And it's not because I want to see the church fall because God will look down and say, ooh, there's 20 at the prayer meeting this evening. I think I'll do something. No, God will do something if there's only 2 people at a prayer meeting. But when he sees 20 at a prayer meeting, do you know what he says? He says to his son, look at the heart of my people. Look at the heart of my people. That's why prayer is so important in numbers. It says of the heart of God's people. We have gone on a bit further than we should have done, but never mind. How did this model come into being? Well, the answer is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Once Jesus is in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. You see, the problem with prayer is this. We feel like the man who was sick of the palsy. He lay on his bed, and his 4 friends picked him up, and they couldn't get to Jesus. They didn't know how to come into Jesus' presence. They couldn't get through the door. They couldn't get through the window. What are we going to do to get into Jesus' presence? And the problem with Christians is, sometimes we feel, what have I got to do before I'm really in the presence of God? How am I going to gain access to God? Now they ripped the roof off. And the disciples felt like that. The disciples saw Jesus. Remember what it says? It says Jesus was praying. So the disciples saw Jesus praying and they were saying to themselves, how does this man pray so effectively? What is... But different about this man, that he seems to spend all night in prayer, because Jesus spent all night in prayer. He seems to have such a wonderful way of praying. So they said to him, listen, what's your secret? I tell you what, I'm thankful for the disciples. very thankful because Jesus answered a question which has released millions of people. Have you ever thought about that? Millions of people have been released because they asked one question. Jesus, teach me to pray like you. How do you do with Jesus? Remember the problem? Only do what Jesus is doing. What a blessing. And the disciples got that message long before Rick Warren and said, teach us to pray like you pray, because that's where the blessing is. And so the Lord taught them to pray. And these are the tools that he used. We're not going to look at them this morning. We're going to simply finish in a few moments' time. But that's how we are going to look at prayer over the next few months. We're going to look at the person of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the provision of prayer, the pardon of prayer, the protection of prayer, the prayers of prayer. And we're going to do that, and we're going to have a prayer diary. And what you're going to be doing in a few weeks, we will have a prayer diary just like this, and we will be writing in our prayer diaries, and we'll be getting a letter to God. Don't worry about that for the moment. Let's deal for the last 5 minutes with our Father. I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ is your Father, the first thing you do when you come in prayer to God is three things. It gives you identification, it gives you intimacy, and it gives you influence. That's what you have, Dennis Brown, every time you talk to God. You are identifying yourself with your Father. You have intimacy with him because obviously you're communicating with him in prayer. And your prayers are an influence. So when you're praying for anything, you are an influence. Isn't it wonderful to know I'm an influence? No, seriously. I can change the world. God told me that. In prayer. I'm a great influence. You see, perhaps my sisters don't want me to pray for them, but they can't stop me. Can they? I am a great influence to God. As simple as I am. But I want to tell you, first of all, we have to be identified with God. All prayer begins with an awareness of our relationship with God. What Jesus is teaching to the disciples, don't forget. Don't forget, he was teaching disciples who were Jews. And they never, never called God their Father. They actually shortened the word Abba. They would never say that God was my Father. I am so glad that God's my Father. Are you glad this morning? Are you got a Father in heaven? Now come on. The Jews wouldn't do it. They thought God would strike them down dead. And here when Jesus is doing something revolutionary, he was saying to the disciples, do you know that God's your dad? That's blasphemy. They thought that was blasphemy. But I want to tell you, Jesus is my Abba. The word Abba, mind you, isn't Father, it's dearest Father. Have you got that? Abba is dearest Father. And we have intimacy when we pray to God. All true prayer begins. Jesus is the starting point of our prayers. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior this morning? Because if you don't, you cannot call God your Father. You have no communication on that level. Yeah, God will still hear a prayer that you pray. If you're crying out to allow him into your life, God will hear that prayer. And I know God's answered prayers for people in situations. But he is not your heavenly Father. You have no relationship with God. You have no identification with God if Jesus is not your Savior. You have no intimacy and you certainly have no influence. The starting point for our Father is the word our. He's my Father. Our Father. There was a little boy and he was dying. And the priest would go every day to him and pray over him. And one day he died. And he went up to pray with the boy, who even though who he's dead, and he saw him grasping his finger. And he said to his parents, why is the little boy grasping his finger? He said, because every day he used to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And his little hand would stick onto that finger. Do you know that the Lord is my shepherd? Do you know it this morning? Are you identified with God this morning? Are you fully identified with God? Are you a Christian, though, who has no identification with God because you don't put any intimacy into it? You can't be an influence because you spend no time with God. I want to show this before we close, 10 past 12. There's us and there's God. And as you can see, there is a great gap. We cannot cross over from there to there. It's humanly impossible. The reason we can't cross over is because we've done things that are wrong in our lives. Sin. We've all committed sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every one of you have fallen short of God's glory this morning. So we're all in the same boat. And all the things that we have done wrong are leading us, not across there, but are leading us to death. Because God says he cannot stand sin, and anyone who sins has no relationship with him and cannot come into heaven. Then one day God sent his son Jesus, who died upon a cross. And Jesus took away every sin that I've ever committed. And the Bible says that if I come to him and I ask Jesus into my life, he takes away death. He puts a cross on death. He takes away death. Did you see him fly across the screen? He's now no longer there, but he's there. Friend, as we close this meeting, and then we'll start the Lord's Prayer off in full the next time we come. I want to, for 10 past 12, I want to reflect for 2 minutes. Because unless you know Jesus as your Savior, friend, you cannot say, Our Father. You cannot say it. He is not your Father. You may be a Christian this morning, but you spend no time over this side. You're too concerned with what's going on in your own life over this side. How many of you are putting some time in to be identified with your Savior? How many of us have got an influence in the world in which we live in because we're spending time with God? How many of you would love right now to have some prayers answered? Can I ask you, how many of you are over the other side? How many of you have crossed over the other side? How many of you are still sitting there in death? That's not God's design for your life. As we close this morning, I want you just to be quiet for a moment. I want you to reflect. Can you, as we go into this Lord's Prayer in a couple of weeks' time, actually say those first words, our Father, which art in heaven. If you cannot, think about it for a moment. And then we're just going to give you a prayer that you might want to say. And I will guarantee if you say that prayer from your heart, you will be in God's family. And you right then can say, My Father, which art in heaven.